a word that, you know, Tiens asked me to come and share this with you guys. And he was there in Malmesbury last week, and he blessed us immensely. He's got a real gift in just breaking open the word. And we just saw that again. So I'm going to preach a little bit tonight and just share testimony mostly with you guys. So you must bear with me as we go through it. And I trust the Lord will come and just psych you up for who he is in our lives and what he wants to do through us this evening. So let's pray. Father, I bring this word before you, God, and I ask, Lord, that you open hearts. And Lord, as I share, Lord God, just the things that you've done in our lives, Lord, I ask, God, that you open hearts to receive right now by your Spirit in Jesus' name. And Lord, that we can see, Lord God, what you want to do in our lives and through our lives through Scripture in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read here in 1 Corinthians 14, and you can open the Bibles that are in front of you. That was so great. I told Yaku as I got in here. You know, as I walk into this place, that scripture in Hebrews 12 just gives me new meaning to, then because you are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, run therefore the race set out before you. So just such a cool moment for me as I walked into this church. I'm going to read there for, I just want to lay this little bit of a foundation. I know you know it, but just read there with me. We're going to read in 1 Corinthians 14. And it's not on the screen there, so that's why I'm asking you to open the Bibles. From verse 10. There are so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language that I speak, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me, even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. And therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray in the spirit, and I will pray also with understanding, and I will sing with the spirit and also with understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you're saying? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. And I thank my God, I speak with you with more tongues than any of you. Yet in the church, I would rather speak 5 words with understanding, that I might teach others also, and then than 1,000 words in another tongue. Brethren, do not be children in understanding, however. In malice, be babes, but in understanding, be mature. For it is written in the law, with men of other tongues and other lips, I will speak to this people, and yet, for all that, they will not hear me, says the Lord. And then, I want to focus on the next part, in verse 24. But if all prophesy and an unbeliever, an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all and he is convicted by all. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. And then I'm not going to read any further, I'm just going to paraphrase. He goes on and he speaks and he says, when you prophesy, and when you desire spiritual gifts, that part, that good part, that prophecy part, Paul urges us and he says, listen, you must desire that. And I want to speak to you this afternoon a little bit about what God has done in our lives through that, and the prophecies and the things that has come, and the prophetic that he has imparted to my understanding. And as you do not know, I was a little bit of a, you know, for a better, a lack of a better word, I was a prophecist. Okay? So, it's kind of like a racist, but just in the prophetic. So, I was a prophecist. And it's not because I wanted to be ugly with people, you know. I was just in a place and said, no, you know, all of those, and I used the words, airy-fairy. I said, all of those airy-fairy things, you know, it's not for me. I want to speak to people about Jesus. And then lead people to Christ and disciple them. That's what we do. And then, you know, God just convicted me in that place of my stupidity. When he saw me, he just said, Deval, through Pastor Fred, don't say airy-fairy, because my spirit, like we read, same spirit that gives gifts, the same spirit that is in all of us, works together. So don't be a prophecist in that place. Now, because I was like that, you know, and I know you guys are doing a whole sermon, a rex on the prophetic. But because I was in that mind space, then I offended a lot of people, especially the prophetic people. I know there are many of you here. And I'll take this moment with my jacket on to publicly repent and say sorry. You know, because we are so stupid sometimes. Jesus has given us the fivefold ministry, and the prophet is one of those. And then the weird thing is, we want prophets to be right. There's no margin for error if you're a prophet. But if I'm a pastor and I miss it, that's okay. Forgive me. I'll go on. But it's because we come with that judgmental attitude towards the prophetic that many times, you know, we offend people, we drive people away, especially if they minister in that gift. And we need it. We need it in the church. And God has come and he showed me a couple of... He's a Brommer. So I'm doing this, the Brommer aside. When we speak words in the prophetic, then we've got two things and two types that we read about in the scripture. And the one is we read about the Logos word of God. This is the Logos word of God, the written word of God. And then on the other side, we read about the Rhema word of God. Those things which are revealed to you, that God speaks into your spirit, things that's not, you know, in the written form, but God speaks to you and he says, listen, go and tell this person that. That's the Rhema word of God. And from that base of those two things, we start tonight. And when you receive a Rhema word of God, I'm going to just do a little bit prophetic 101 here. So for those of you who think, Deval, please, bear with me. Okay. We're going to get through this quickly. And then I want to share a testimony with you guys, what God did in Malmesbury the past 3 years with us being there. And God just came and shook my prophecy box a little bit. So now I'm maybe part of those people. So quickly, I want to just run through a couple of things. When we speak about the prophetic, then those Rhema words and things, they come through a couple of ways. The first one is visions, dreams, words of prophecy, and prophetic actions that we do. And I just quickly want to share from Scripture a couple of examples on that. When we speak about visions, you can read in Acts 10. You know, Peter is dreaming, or he says that he was really hungry. And as he was very hungry, he fell into a trance, and he started to see this vision. Okay, so this big larkin, there we go, sheet, comes down from heaven on the four corners, and then it opens up before him, and there's all kinds of animals in that, clean and unclean, and then he gets a Rhema word. God says, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And he says, no, God, I will not do that, not at all. I will not defile myself. And then it happens three times. And after this, he was thinking, yes, what's that about? Then God is really faithful. And just after that, God told him, listen, people are going to come to you. And then God has also spoken to those people and said, go to that guy. And he will tell you what you need to know. So God comes through this vision. And I'm not going to go into it in detail. But God just turns and shakes the box of the Jewish mindset and says, listen, the Gentiles are also part of my plan in this vision. Then the second one is in dreams. Now you can go and read Joseph in Genesis 37. Joseph had a dream, and when he had told it to his brother, they hated him even more. And I think, Joseph, why are you so doof, man? if they hate you for telling dreams, don't tell them. But he told them. And he said to them, hear this dream that I've dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves gathered around and it bowed down to my sheaf. Lekker. I come from mamas, but I understand the sheaves, okay? You don't have to bow down to me. This was Joseph's dream, but it was about the sheaves. So anyway, the third one, that was just a dream that that Joseph had. The third one is words of prophecy, spoken words of prophecy. Elisha, he did this a couple of times, 2 Kings 7:1, says they hear the word of the Lord, and thus says the Lord, tomorrow, about this time, a sea of fine flour will be sold for a shekel. And then 2 seahs of barley will be sold for a shekel at the gates of Samaria. Now, I just want to tell you about the story. It's actually a very cool story. When this happened, Israel were encamped in, you know, they were in a city and they were surrounded by Assyrians. And what happened in those days is if you can do that, keep your enemy inside the city, sometime, somewhere, they will die. So just keep them in there, they'll eat all their food, and they'll die. Now what happened here was, the previous day, just as he spoke this, they bought a donkey's head or some head for a lot of money, like a whole day's wage. And then the other one, and I don't want to go in there, they could buy like 300 grams of bird poop, also for a lot of money. So there was no food. If people are paying lots of money to buy bird dung. And now it makes a little bit more sense when this guy speaks, tomorrow you will buy all of those other things that you bake bread with for absolutely nothing compared to what you're paying for the dung at the moment. So you can read the story on in the captain of the guard. He comes as he hears this voice and he says, even if God opens the heavens, can this thing be? And then Elisha looks at him and says, you will certainly hear about it, but you will not partake of it. That's not the thing that you want to hear from a prophet either. So he spoke the word, and then just to finish the story, it was 4 lepers were sitting at the gate. And as they're sitting there, they're thinking, nobody's coming out the gate anymore to give us food. We're going to die. Nobody's worrying about us. We've got leprosy. We're going to die. So let's go to the enemy's camp. And then guess what? Maybe we'll die. But at least, maybe they'll give us food. And these 4 lepers got up, and as they walk, the army of the Assyrians hears the thundering of a mighty army coming against them. And they think the Israelites have gone and they hired the Egyptians and some other armies to come and help them. And then they started to run away. Everything. And then the lepers go into the one tent. They find a lot of stuff. They take it out and they go and bury it somewhere. And they got back the second time, another tent, get a lot of stuff, go and bury it. And then the third time when they come back, they said, this is not right. All the people are starving in the city, and we're doing this. Let's go and tell them. And then they told them, and as they told them, then there was a little bit of a stampede. And the guy that said that thing, even if God opened the heavens, he was in the gate, and they trampled him, and he died. So he heard about it, just as the prophecy said, but he didn't partake of it. And then the fourth one is prophetic action. And again, Elisha, you can go and read in 2 Kings 13. Joash, he's got a bow and arrows. And he said to him, take the arrows. And he took them and he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground with them. And he struck the ground 3 times and he stopped. So the prophet gave him a prophetic action to do. You know, again with the Assyrians and the people and how many times he's going to beat them. But he didn't know that. And he said, strike the ground with these arrows. And he did it only 3 times. And then the prophet was a little bit disappointed in him. He says, because he only struck it 3 times and didn't, I don't know how many times he should have done it, but at least he should have been psyched up to do it. You're only going to beat the Assyrians 3 times, and then you're not going to beat them anymore. And then another message of another story that you can go and read is Moses. You know, prophetic action. God just says, what is in your hand? use what is in your hand prophetically, and a lot of things happen. Now, just a word of caution. In Proverbs 18, we see a lot of it, and I'm going to read you the scripture, four scriptures there in Proverbs 18. It says, verse 4, "The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook." Verse 6, "A fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating." Verse 7, "A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to his soul." And then the most important one, verse 21, says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits." So here's the question. How is your lips, how are your lips looking at the moment? Angelina Jolie style. What comes out of your mouth at this moment? If you should take two trees, one that side, one this side, and that one gets water, and you need to water the other one with your words, how long will that tree last? When you speak about your friends, when you speak about government, when you speak about the taxi driver, what does the words look like that come out? Will it bring life? Will it bring death? Because death and life is in the power of the tongue. And you have got to steward that. And when we speak about the prophetic, and I'm going to show you in our, in the testimony that I'm going to share with you, the prophetic, it's an uttering thing. You need to speak it. You need to speak words. You know, and you can just declare the word, the logos word of God. And that's also prophetic. Many times. Situations in your life are going to arise. And, you know, the measure to which you know this word will help you to speak into situations. To speak situations and to speak things, you know, like God has shown a lot of things, you know, and he's shown to some prophets and said, "What do you see?" "Well, I see a valley of dead bones." Speak to them. Speak to the valley. Speak to your valley. So, just a couple of things before the testimony. I'm building it up to that testimony. Hopefully it's good. So what should you do with prophecy and words and the prophetic? I know most of you know this, but I'm just going to reiterate quickly. Matthew 7. "Beware of false prophets who come in sheep's clothing and are inwardly ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit." So the first thing, when it comes to the prophetic, and especially when people speak things into your life, you know, we are such an open generation to receive. When people speak things into your life, you know, it's an awesome thing. It's a wonderful thing that God has given us, because the prophetic has impacted my life profoundly. I'm standing here because of one of those instances. I was in a church, Gabby, in Ceres. I don't remember what that church's name, that little small church's name was. Anyway, but I was studying my third year, fourth year. I'm thinking about, you know, what am I going to do with my life? And I've been praying a lot, you know, I was asking God, what do you want me to do with my life? Because I'm studying this, but I don't really know if that's what I should do. And then I go to this little church in Ceres. The guy preaches, and afterwards, he invites people to come forward if they want the word from God, you know. I'm thinking, please, God. And I'm standing in front there, and, you know, I'm now waiting for this pastor to come and pray for me. And then he does a weird thing. He says, "If you've got something that you want to share with one of these people, come forward and do that." And I'm standing there. And here comes this old lady, a colored lady, about this tall. And she comes and stands in front of me. And she's very nervous, and she doesn't know why she must come and tell me this, but she just feels she has to. Praise God for her being obedient. She stands in front of me, and she says, And you must translate for the English people, please. She says, I just feel God says, Eister, Eister, Isaiah 45. Iron, iron, Isaiah 45. Now for you, that doesn't make any sense. For me, I knew my God knew me personally. Because when I was in Dagbreek, in Stellenbosch, my nickname was Eister. Nobody knew that in that place. God knew that. He knew me. And he came and he spoke into my life and he says, Eister, Eister, Isaiah 45. You can go read it. It's a story about Cyrus. But in some translations it says, Cyrus, at the top there, Cyrus is God's shepherd. I knew, okay, God. It clicked in my heart. I really wanted to be that. God knew it. And I was hungry for it. But many times, and that's why I'm just sharing this with you, when we are so hungry for something, then ravenous wolves might come. They look well on the outside. But you must check. You must go and check. What are the fruit that that person is bearing? And that's a difficult thing, especially if somebody comes to you and you don't know him at all. You don't know him from a bar of soap. Then you find out who that person is. You phone somebody, especially if it's directive stuff. You know, sell all your things and go to Macedonia or wherever. Then you need to know the fruit of the person that's sharing this with you. And that's very important. So you must know the fruit of the person that brings a word to you. Okay? And fruit, you can only see over time. Okay? So when you take a person and that's... So if somebody with a prophetic has missed it somewhere, that's fine. You're forgiven. Okay? You may miss it sometimes. Okay? So if you take your whole life and the people know you, when you take your life and the people can say, that person bears good fruit. Even though sometimes you miss it, like I do. I only look so perfect. I am not. Then God comes, and he wants to use you in that place. But you must be a person that bears good fruit over time, especially when you flow in the prophetic. Then, next one, in 1 John 4:1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits and see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. So test it any way possible when those things come. All right, so just a couple of other things that I jotted down that I want to share with you when it comes to prophetic words. Be sure to balance it against Scripture, okay? When you get the Rhema word says, you may go and sleep with a neighbor's wife. And then you may justify it because your wife is this and that and this and she doesn't do this and that's not a good wife because the Scripture says every good and perfect gift is from above and she's not good and perfect, so she's not from God, so I can go and sleep with my neighbor's wife. Okay? Then you need to know Scripture and you need to know that Scripture overrides anything Rhema. Okay? So anything Rhema needs to be tested with the Scripture. Second one, look for the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. Like with what happened to me in Ceres is the same thing. The Holy Spirit has just confirmed that word in my heart because I've been praying it. God knew about it. And when that word came, I knew this was God. And especially for the Easter part. Okay. Pray through it, the word that comes. You know, go and pray. Ask God, you know, God, this is the word. What are from you? What were fleshly? And sort out the word that God has given you so that you know exactly what God is saying. Compare against words that has already been spoken over your life, run it by a mature leader in church, and then especially that predictive or directive one. Wait for confirmation with big things. God is eager to confirm if there are big things that you need to do in your life. All right, so if it's big things and you need to sell everything and go to Macedonia, wherever, then wait for confirmation. God will do it. And then just again there, if you are waiting for a husband or a wife, then speak to mature, and I mean like grace mature, gray people, about the words that you receive in that. Okay? Because the heart is deceitful above all things. Especially when it goes into that emotional stuff. And if you are desperate, please. Bounce it off mature people that has got fruit in their life. And then the last one is, do not read into the word what you want it to say. I read an example, again, in the relationship. This woman was dating a guy, and then a word came and says, God says, in 5 years' time, you are going to marry your husband, and God's going to give you a husband, and he's going to be a musician. But she was in this relationship with this guy, and he was not a musician. He was not Greg at all. He was more like Duval. And then she read into that, because she really liked Duval, wanted him. She read into it and said, in 5 years' time, God is going to make you a musician. That is reading into the word. So don't read into the words that God gives you what you want it to say. All right, so my time's ticking away. So I want to continue, and there's a lot of things that I'm just going to actually skip through it. If you want the notes, you can have it. But I want to share what God has done in my life and in our life in Malmesbury. And let me just get to that. When I started to walk this road of the prophetic, I didn't know I was going down that road. Like I said, I was a prophetist, and things of the prophetic, even though I liked it, I was a little bit afraid of it, to go into it, because I don't want to be weird. I am weird, I know. I could have told myself then. God came and he gave us this scripture, Psalm 144:1. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Now what happened was, I was with Yaku and Ras and Tigerberg, and then the need arose to go to Malmesbury. Yaku and Carmen was there, and now I've got a lot of compassion for them, because they took the brunt and nobody had the prophetic insight to see what was going on there. So they were really sick and ill, and you know, and a lot of stuff happened to them, and they got a little bit of a sabbatical, and I was sent there, my wife and I, Danelle. And then I got there, and the first thing that happens is I wake up one morning. I've paralyzed in the left side of my face. I got Bell's palsy. So now I'm standing in, and it's weird, especially if you need to preach. And now you can't smile. Only half your face smiles. I wanted to do a Phantom of the Opera, but I couldn't. And that was, I thought, okay, this is weird, but I went on. And then one day, Danelle was driving from Malmesbury. She works here in Belleville at Salem Head Office. And she's driving through, and there was we found out later it was a farmer that just drove to the main road and just shot himself there, so the police barricades and all of those things were there. And as she drives past it, the Rema, prophetic word of God, comes to her. And the words that she receives is, death is hitting home. Okay, so that's weird. She comes back and shares it with me, and then we just prayed, you know, God, help us. And then the Friday morning, I got up and went to play some golf. Not anymore. No time, no money. Okay. But I went to play golf, and as I'm playing golf, I've got this thing in my spirit, I shouldn't be here. So I'm running through that golf course in my 9 holes, and then usually I go into the clubhouse, and then I have a drink, and then a cokey. And then I go home. But this specific morning, I was just feeling so, you know, I had such an urgency in my spirit just to get home. So I'm going. I didn't stop. I just packed my things in the car and I drove home. You know, and as I stopped at our house and I opened the garage door, here comes the nanny with Maynard. He was about 15 months old, yeah, a year and a half. And she's running to me with him. And I could see it's not because he wants to see me. And as I get out of the car, and I look at him, you know, his eyes are rolled back and he's starting to get blue in the face. Then you don't pray silly prayers. And I'm just, God, help me. So now I'm taking him in the car, and she's sitting, the nanny's sitting next to me. But now, he's not breathing. He's foaming at the mouth, and you know, it's blood coming out because I put my finger down his throat. I thought he swallowed something. Apparently, you shouldn't do that for the doctors in the house. I learned that. But as I drove, now I'm, you know, I just disregarded a lot of the rules of the road to get to the hospital. And as I'm driving, you know, I'm driving with my one hand and Maynard here, and then just after every shift, I'm just giving him mouth to mouth so that we can get to the hospital. And I'm running in there, you know, it's like a soap opera. I'm saying, somebody help me! You know, all of your fear of man goes out the window in situations like that. I'm running in there, and there's a doctor that helped me a lot. So you got fever fits. And then, yes, there's more. You know, I got home, and then a while later, we went on a holiday in Stillbaai. And we were there for a nice holiday, and we were swimming in the sea and all of those things. And then, as we were there, I don't know. Oh, yes, we woke up. I woke up the evening, and I was so disturbed in my spirit. And I woke up, and I was just feeling something is not right right now. Now, I'm a feeler. I don't see those visions things. I think God made me an old man in the spirit because I only dream dreams, but I feel stuff. And I was feeling that there's something really wrong right now, and I need to pray. So I'm praying, and then as I'm praying, Danelle, sleeping here, she starts waking up with one of those screams, you know, she's, and I'm saying, okay. And I'm asking, you know, and please, guys, for those of you not married yet, in moments like that, you wake up your wife like this. Anyway, she wakes up and I'm asking her what happened. She said, no, she has this dream and some figures came in and they wanted to take away our son. Wanted to drag him off. So now we're praying, and I'm praying in the house, and I go to Maynard's room, and I'm specifically praying for him, because then I think that I was pregnant with Alvin then, and I'm praying for him, and I was praying a lot, and then after a while of prayer, you know, I felt the burden just lift, and I got that scripture in Isaiah 59. Fred just put up that photo. Oh, yeah, thanks. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. And then this part, and I was just quoting it a lot in that time, you know, a rema of a logos word of God that I just spoke as a prophecy in this whole time that we went into. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the great thing about this and the revelation that God gave me in this, you know, I always prayed this when we had intercession, you know, it's this blanket thing that I throw over everything. When the enemy comes in like a flood, you know, and it's okay, you can, because it's scripture. But what God showed me is that last part. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against him. And God just said, for every instance where the enemy wants to come in like a flood, when you are willing and you want to listen, God will raise up a standard against him, against that attack, against that thing in your life that God wants to do. So the next photo is what happened after that. And that's Maynard. And about a week after those prayers, that's what happened. he got epiglottitis. Now, we've got a very experienced, wonderful pediatrician, and when he spoke to me, he said that in his whole career, he only saw this 3 times. And then this happened. Then I put up that scripture against his bed, and I was just speaking that over him. And I was speaking scriptures, and then I'm driving, you know, he was in ICU for 7 days, and then for 3 days after that, he was just in recovering. So yes, there's a happy ending to the story. Okay, hallelujah. So the 7 days, then I would drive in, and I would stay with him, and then I would be with Alvin. And as we were in that place, I drove once, and I was crying out to God. And again, God matures us so much when we get children. So I'm so glad with all the babies coming in this place. Because all of a sudden, you know, it's not about me anymore. And I'm driving there, and I'm praying God, and I said, God, please. I'm speaking the scripture. I'm speaking, you know, you shall live and not die, and he will live to declare the word of the Lord. I'm speaking those things. And then I read my word. Fits into what Lance said in the offering. And God asks me, Deval, are you willing to give him to me? Now, those aren't easy words to hear, God asking you. Deval, are you willing to release your son to me? And I'm sitting there thinking, God. Obviously, the answer is yes, but this is so, so difficult. But then I went through it and I prayed through it and I said, God, yes, you can have him. He's yours anyway. If you want him, you can have him. And then God didn't take him. He got better. And then we got back to Malmesbury after that incident. And now, suddenly we're starting to see some things. We're connecting the dots. From Jacques' time and all of those things, you see, listen, somewhere in this book, it says, your battle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and all things of the earth. And we started to experience that in a way, and God knew my prophecist mentality. So what started to happen is I started having dreams, and then I would dream. And in my dream, I would stand in a big hall. It was always kind of a school hall. It's weird. I was standing in the school hall. And then I knew that there were things and stuff around me. And now I was afraid. And then I just ran. Tried to get away. So this happened a couple of times. I was running away. And then one night, I was dreaming the same dream again. And then I just, it's kind of like I wanted to run away. And then I just stood. And I said, like, here I am. I'm not running away anymore. I am standing right here. And then that was the dream, and I woke up again. And many times through this, you know, we had some visitations and all of this, and I'm not glorifying evil tonight, this evening, but it is real. So then there would be, I would feel, listen, there's some stuff here, it's not good. And then I dreamt again. And as I was dreaming, standing in that place again, now I'm standing at least, not running away anymore. And then the third dream that I got a spade in my dream. And then as I got that spade, I just see all over around me, it's like snakes and stuff. And I'm just running with that spade, and I'm eating snakes, man. And I would hit one in the middle, and you know, the head side would just crawl off, and the other one, so I missed, it's just in the middle. And then other ones, you know, they were continuously coming at me. These things, even though I've got the spade. And then, in my dream, I went around this place, and suddenly I'm in our house. And this one portrait in our house, it had a big snake behind it. And I'm walking with my spade to that thing, and I just hit it. Just here, in the neck. And as the head drops, then the body just rolls away. And then the cool thing, as I turn around, all the other little snakes just, they scattered. And I'm waking up and says, that was cool. But it doesn't feel like anything has changed. And then the great thing, and I know many of you guys have prayed with us and came through to our house, so we are really indebted to you. Thank you for praying with us in that time, because the whole of Shofar was praying for us. A lady came from Tigerberg, and she said, you know, after I woke up and I told Danielle what happened, this lady phones her and says, Duval, or Danielle, I want to come through. God just said I must come and pray at your house. And now I'm not the prophetess anymore. Please come. And she comes there with, you know, a lot of prophetic things that God has told her to come and do at our house. And I'm doing it with her. And I'm, you know, speaking the things and zipping closed stuff and stamping on the bones, heads, and whatever, all of those things. Doing everything prophetically. So, she comes into our house and she says, okay, now we're going to do a spiritual cleansing. Okay, not the evil one, the good one of your house. We're just going to go from room to room and just repent, forgive, all of those things. That's what you need to do in spiritual warfare stuff, okay? Repentance and forgiveness. And then declaration. Hallelujah. So, we go through all of these places, and I told her nothing of my dream. And she comes into that room where this portrait was hanging, and she goes to another one, and she stands in front of it 2 seconds and turns away, and she goes to this one, and she stands there for a long while, and then she just, and then watchers and all that other stuff, I don't know the names of the things. And she just closes the eyes and whatever. And I'm looking at this and I've got goosebumps all over me. And I'm saying, God, obviously she understands because that's what you showed me. That specific portrait. And now she's doing this. She didn't do anything of that in all other parts of our house, but there. So I learned a little bit about that airy-fairy things there. And God is so faithful. And he helps us a lot. So, in that place, God has come and so we took down that portrait a little while later because I was still silly as well. Because it was given to us by a very close family friend. So now I just broke, you know, and the oil and everything. So yeah, yes, it's done now. So this thing's sanctified. Anyway. But the picture on it was a picture of a man, and maybe you've seen it. It was just a print; it wasn't the original. Anyways, this guy and a girl, they're standing at a bar, with they both got like tuxedos and things on. But the guy standing on this side and the woman standing on that side, two different portraits. And then a lady, bless her heart, came into our house and very gently told me, Duval, some things can't be sanctified. What this represents is worldly, and you cannot change that. So I was thinking, because stuff just continued a little bit after that first instance. And I took down the posters and I right there and I put them in the fire, burnt it down, and then hallelujah, things started to change in our house. But the great thing was, and that's what I learned through this, is what happened to us as a family, God used as a prophetic thing for the town of Malmesbury. You know, people just, you know, their hearts got knit together. People started standing in unity. We started to pray. And the things that God is doing in Malmesbury at the moment, it excites me so much. Just one thing I want to share with you on that. I got there 3.5 years ago and I went to visit all the dominies, the reverends in town. Just to say hi, and this is me, and what. And then I got to one guy, and he was a little bit upset with the Shofar. Understatement, but he was. And as we spoke, you know, and he got all these things off his chest, and he said, because we spoke about church unity, And it was so cool because now I can see it. You know, he had a Balaam or Balak moment. I can't judge him like that. Let's not do that. But what came out of his mouth is starting to be fulfilled. I can see it. He said, Deval, in this town, we will only really start to see church unity when you and I can stand in each other's pulpits and preach in each other's churches. Now, after all this year, I invited the one dominie that I've got a great relationship with to come and preach in my church, and he did. Then we asked if we can join them for Pinkster, and we did. Okay, so those were great things that happened this year. And then God came through about 2 weeks ago. Before that, the headmaster of the school that we are in, he phones me and he said, Deval, I want you to, or the people, he's got a committee, and then the committee decided on which that dominie, which I invited, he is on that committee. And he said, we want you to come and share the word at the matric farewell service. And Mamas, if it works like that, they've got a matric farewell service, so everybody on a Friday morning, they come to the church, and then they've got a service for the whole school. But these I only found out later that it was going to be for the whole school. But because it was for the whole school and other people could come, there's two Dutch Reformed churches in town. You know, Noordkerk, there's one that the dominee that I invited to me is from the North Church. And then the Mother Church. The Mother Rave. No, the Mother Church. And you know, it's a very old church, the fifth oldest church in South Africa, Dutch Reformed Church. So there's a lot of things and a lot of tradition and all those things around that. But because it was going to be such a big service, you know, then they phoned me and said, listen, it's going to be there, in the Dutch Reformed Mother Church, the service. You know, and I didn't sleep a lot in the weeks leading up to that. Oh, no, only the night before I really didn't sleep. Because I had this word, but I've got so many things to say. And God didn't come and clarify what I need to say exactly to me. And I was this place. And later, I just know that God wanted me to rely on Him to do what He wants to do. So anyway, I'm telling you the story, but it's just so great. Because of all the prayers and all the prophetic actions and the things that has happened in Malmesbury. And I was standing there, and I told them. I said, 3.5 years ago, this is what God said through a dominie. And this is what's happening now. And I spoke to Jan, and I said, Jan, you were with me, and look where I'm standing now. I was standing in the Dutch Reformed Church preaching. So God is doing awesome things in Malmesbury. But the one thing that I want to leave you guys with tonight before we're going to pray for some people. It's in 1 John 4, verse 4. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And you know, just before the things really changed, I was lying in my bed sleeping. Danelle was away. She was away on business in Johannesburg, and I was lying in bed. And I wake up, but I'm not awake. Okay, so you wake up and you're not awake. So it's some trance type thing. I don't know. But I'm lying and I'm awake, and I can't move. I'm lying like this. Nothing's working. Can't lift my hands, can't lift nothing. I can't even speak. My mouth doesn't work. So I'm just praying in the spirit in my head. And then afterwards, I could start speaking with my mouth, and I'm just speaking. And then this scripture is the only thing that comes out of my mouth. I'm saying, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I'm just continuously prophesying that, speaking that. And as I'm speaking it, then I'm getting a little bit loose, and I could lift my hand. And as I'm lying there, I don't see many things. I feel a lot. But this was the first time that I actually saw just this huge black thing standing here at the bathroom, and I was aware of it. And as I'm lying there, I'm praying, and I'm speaking this. I can't move or anything, but I know it's there. And now I'm really awake, so I'm trying to get up, but I can't. And I'm praying, and I'm praying, and I'm speaking those words, and I can lift my hand. And as I'm lifting my hand, I pointed to this thing and I said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And as I said that, it just left. and I could stand up and it's fine. And I know it's weird and wonderful things that I'm telling you guys, but the one thing that Danelle and I worked through is that there's no fear in God. And God's love is above all of this. And you don't have to be afraid. Even though weird stuff happen, you know that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you stand on the word and you prophesy. You speak to those things. You speak to the mountains. You speak to the dry bones. Because God wants us to do that. He wants us to overcome. He's already given us everything that we need that pertains to God, life and godliness in Christ Jesus. And he will help you. Okay, so, Greg, as you can come to the front. I want to pray with some people here tonight. I know that, especially the babies, and they need to go and be fed. So I'll finish. Father, thank you that I can just come and bring these wonderful people before you, Lord. Thank you, God, that I can just, I want to impart, Lord, just what you've done in our lives to them, God. Lord, that you are greater than all of the things and all of the stuff, Lord God, that happens in our lives. And Lord, we want to be like Job, that even though everything, Lord God, comes against us, Lord, that Satan has seen what is happening in our life and he says, God, and he wants to take us out and take us down because we represent you. Lord, we can stand in that place and say, I will not turn my back on my God. Because my God is greater. My God is greater than all of the things and all of the stuff that is just surrounding me. And my God, I can say like the psalmist says, with my God, I can scale a wall. And Lord Jesus, I ask Lord that those people that are here, and I know there are many of them, God, that it's gotten to a place where they think that the whole world is coming against them. Father, I ask, God, for strength, Lord God, to those feeble knees tonight, in Jesus' name. God, I ask that you strengthen the hands, Lord God, and the arms that are hanging in this place tonight. And God, I ask that you come by your Spirit, Lord God, and you strengthen them, and that they know that greater is he that is in them, Lord God, than he that is in the world. And Lord, they can rise up, Lord God, from that place and start prophesying, start speaking your word, Lord God. Start speaking life, Lord God, into situations that are dead, Lord. There are many people here, Lord God, there are situations in their lives at the moment, Lord God, it looks dead. There's just bones there, God. Father, I ask, Lord God, you give them the faith this afternoon, Lord God, to speak to those bones. To speak your life into those bones, God. And Lord, that you can come, Lord, and do miraculous things through them as they are willing and obedient, Lord God, to what you tell them, to what you reveal to them, Lord. So, Father, I ask for that this evening, Lord. And I ask, God, that you come and strengthen hearts here tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray. I'm just going to, you know, if you know that God has spoken to you, and especially if you're in that place where it feels like everything is so dark and you have got no hope at the moment, it feels like a Job situation, I want to pray for you tonight. And I want you to come to the front, and I want you to come and stand here. And I know there's people that are going to come and pray with me. So if there's lots of people that need to come, it's fine. But come. And then we're going to put our faith together and we're going to speak to those things. We're going to speak to those mountains. Even though you might think that God has forgotten about you, he has not forgotten about you. And he wants to speak to you tonight. And that's what I'm putting my faith out for. That you would know, like I know, that God is an awesome God. And his Spirit, the prophetic Spirit, is there to guide us, to help us, to comfort us, and to give us direction. And I'm trusting God to do that here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So I don't know, Yak, if you want to end the service and people need to go, we can pray for the people afterwards.
Can we just all stand?